number three, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Quarterback seems to be
quarterbacks.
When you're at this stage of the season,
yeah.
I mean, as I said earlier, when I'm looking at an opponent, the first thing I look at is quarterback.
Yeah, then left guard.
No, then defense. But okay. Anyway, quarterback is right at the top.
Right.
And there's been a lot of talk in these parts over the last couple of weeks, and specifically over the last week or so, about the play of Tom Brady. Has he slipped? If he has, what are the reasons? What's the biggest reason? We understand it's probably more than one thing.
Of course.
The cast of people around him. Does he have a knee injury? Is he getting too old? I mean, all of those things. So you spotted this, The Athletic.
Yeah, Jeff Howe's tweeting this out. The Athletic had an article, and it's a player survey, defensive player survey. They polled players, again, defensive players in the league.
85 defensive players from 25 teams. What, the 7 teams said no, they wouldn't do
it? They're like, we won't do it. It's too much of a distraction for us to fill out this 5-minute questionnaire. But they did it over the past 6 weeks of the NFL season. So this wasn't a survey done at the beginning of the year or even in the middle of the year. More recent. So Tom Brady's almost as a complete season and what we saw of it, all of that is included here. And they ask a bunch of different questions. But one of them that jumped out to me, and because we were ranking the quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs and all of that, the number one question here, which quarterback would you least like to face in a big game? 52% of those that voted said Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers was the runner-up at 32%. Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes were the only other two that received multiple votes.
And yet.
Yes. Oh, and yet.
They also asked, which quarterback would you most like to face in a big game? And Tom Brady won that, too.
But as he said, so he only won 18%. That one was much closer, followed second by Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, what they really want to face is, you know, like Jameis Winston.
But I think what it meant is that one is way more up for how do you feel like answering that. I think they mean, like, you know, it's a big game if you're facing Brady, and it's the biggest challenge if you're facing Brady. That's how I would read it. Because some guys...
Then how come Nathan Peterman was second?
Because others would say, give me the easiest guy. Because look at who was third, Aaron Rodgers. So it's the same group where I want to be tested because and Howe writes in here, or at least someone from The Athletic Boston wrote, players had different ways of answering that question, as you can tell by the top answers. Some went the route of wanting to play the greats, and others preferred to face the not-so-greats.
Right.
We're going to take it as the ultimate sign of respect that defensive players most want and least want to face Patriots Tom Brady in a big game. There is an overwhelming sense that Brady is the ultimate clutch quarterback. Of course, as evidenced by the 5 Super Bowl rings, and the guy you don't want to see across the line of scrimmage, but it's also clear that to at least a portion of the NFL defensive players, to be the best, you've got to beat the best.
Woo!
And that means wanting to face Brady when it counts. That's fine. They obviously quoted Ric Flair there. But so that gives you a sense on how the league feels. So even though I think Mahomes, Luck, Rivers, Breeze have all been better this year than Tom Brady, when you're breaking it down in the playoffs, Brady still has that, at least that aura. So I'm sure there are guys defensively for the Chargers that they don't care what Brady's numbers are. They don't care what his QB rating is. They don't care how many picks he threw this year. They're looking across the line of scrimmage saying, man, we got to prepare for this guy, and you've still got your work cut out for you. So he is still insanely respected, as he should be. But I think we talk about the drop-off more and the reasons for it and everything else than defensive players around the league. Like, they certainly haven't anointed Patrick Mahomes as the guy yet. On his way, sure.
Well,
but he's
blew
not the
away
guy.
The who's the most impressive quarterback under the age of 25 balloting.
Yeah, that would for sure be
Patrick
Mahomes.
That's pretty
Mahomes.
Easy, huh?
Goff was second, Watson third, distant third, and then Carson Wentz also received some votes. Most impressive rookie, Baker Mayfield. Should Colin Kaepernick be on an NFL roster? 95% said yes.
Yes. Two said no, two said no comment.
If you could replace one, this is a great question. If you could replace one NFL quarterback with Colin Kaepernick, whom would you pick? The top answer, 20% of the votes, Blake Bortles. Which backup quarterback should be a starter?
He is.
Yeah, these guys were ahead of their time. Nick Foles, followed by Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Which quarterback?
Wait, where's Brian Hoyer?
I don't see him on there. Oh. I don't believe he got any votes.
Want to check a little deeper here?
Which quarterback is the most dangerous on third down? This is interesting. Tom Brady did not even receive multiple votes. It was Aaron Rodgers 1, followed by Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes.
See, that kind of makes sense to me. Guys who can beat you with their feet as well as their arm.
Yep. Which quarterback would you most want as your teammate in the locker room?
Ooh.
25% say Aaron Rodgers, which is interesting. He doesn't even get along with his family, let alone his teammates. Tom Brady's second on that list. Which quarterback would you
teammate? You were not allowed to vote for your own quarterback.
That makes sense. Yeah. Which quarterback would you least want as your teammate? Number one, Cam Newton. Number two, actually tied for second, Jameis Winston and
Ben Roethlisberger.
So obviously Antonio Brown got a vote on this. Most overrated quarterback. This is a good question. Most overrated quarterback, Kirk Cousins, followed by Eli Manning. That makes sense. Kirk Cousins is definitely overrated.
And by the way, Brady got votes on that one too.
Yeah, he did. A bunch of guys did. Flacco,
received
Ryan,
multiple
Stafford,
votes
Carr, Dalton,
that he's
Prescott.
One of the most overrated quarterbacks. I don't see Philip Rivers really in anything here.
Yeah, he's not. He's kind of, again, he's under the radar. Like I said, nobody mentions him on any of this stuff. But no, but my big takeaway is that defensive player still, the guy they would least want to face, even after the year that he has had, is Tom Brady. And this may be even, some of these players, it said over the past 6 weeks of the NFL season, so some of these guys may have voted right after the Miami loss or after the Steelers loss or whatever, and they still picked Tom Brady as the guy that they would least like to face.
There was another interesting addendum to this. A guy broke this down. Quarterback passer rating while under pressure.
Okay. Yeah, because Brady this year against the blitz, as we know, much different than in years past.
Nick Foles was best.
Like, I don't know. How is Nick Foles?
He had a quarterback rating of 90.6, best in the NFL when he was under pressure. Philip Rivers was seventh.
Okay.
Quarterback rating of 83.8 when under pressure. Tom Brady was 21st.
Oh, boy.
Quarterback rating of 71.2 when under pressure.
And you get the sense that he's going to be under pressure on Sunday.
Yes.
Even if it's just the front four. I mean, with Bosa and Ingram, you're going to be under all kinds of pressure. And then we'll see what else they come up with. It'll be interesting to see what the Chargers do after a game where they played defensive backs nonstop and they barely played linebackers. How do they change things up this week? What I would imagine it's going to be pretty close to 50-50. Now, some of that depends on, you know, if you have the lead early on, can you allow yourself to, can you know, run. But I think ideally that's what they're hoping for. I bet it's, you know, it's fascinating. I was looking at some of the numbers yesterday, the run-pass percentages. And again, some of it does come when you're winning, you're going to run the ball and do all that stuff. But the Patriots and Saints were both very close to 50-50. And you think Brady Breeze, you think, oh, they throw the ball all the time. Well, not so much. Really, this year, way down for Drew Breeze. So two of the best teams in the league kind of going a little bit back to that 50-50 run pass compared to what we thought maybe the league was going.
We talked about the things that favor the Patriots. We talked about the travel that the Chargers have had.
Yeah.
L.A. to Baltimore, back to L.A., now to Foxborough, Providence, however you want to put it,
sure.
Where they're flying to. We talked about the probability. It's at least going to be cold. Apparently,
right.
There's not going to be a blizzard. There's probably not even going to be any snow, but it's at least going to be cold. That was one of the things that was an advantage for the Patriots. There's one that we haven't mentioned.
I was going to say, we need one that's personnel-wise, because right now none of it is on field.
I've got another one that's not on
field.
Great. It's the 1 o'clock start, which is 10 a.m. body time for these
guys.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
You know,
that works out that it's not a night game or it's not a late afternoon
game.
Yeah,
it's not that's another 4:30 start or something, which would negate some of the advantage.
They're not going to know whether they should have breakfast, lunch, brunch. They're going to be so confused.
They will have just gotten to sleep after the fire alarm got pulled at their hotel.
Good point.
And don't forget about the speakers on the hotel across the street.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what they yell at those guys. Maybe they'll just play that new Chargers theme song.
We had guys sending us like global satellite photos of the hotel in Providence saying, there was no way anybody was on a roof near that. Right. I mean, look at this.
Yeah, you're calling Bart Scott a liar? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Come on. He's exaggerating a little bit, you think?
Yeah. So all of the things that we think favor the Patriots are all non-personnel things.
Give me one personnel thing. Anybody? How am I going to pick the Patriots tomorrow if I can't pick a thing that they do better than the Chargers?
The Patriots' offensive line is better than the Chargers' offensive line.
Okay.
I'm trying to give you something.
Okay, that could be good.
Does the head coach count as personnel?
Boom.
Yes.
Thank you, Scheim.
Good job,
Scheim. Scheim comes in, saves the day. Patriots have a head coach advantage.
Well done, Scheim.
They might have a kicker advantage, although...
Always have a kicker advantage over the Chargers.
Right, exactly. Where's Nate Kading? They probably do. Even though Gostkowski is good for a miss in the playoffs, it feels like every year, every game.
Get it out early, though. First quarter.
Miss that first one.
I would automatically just kick it the other
way. Double doink it. Do whatever you need to do. Just get it out of the way.
Well, it's
but funny. They probably have the advantage, right? Or maybe I'm maybe not. I mean, you just think San Diego kicker, and you're like, you got the advantage there.
So Scheim is in today because Lucy's not here for a couple of days.
That's
so
right.
Scheim is in, well, partly because Lucy's not here, but partly because...
No, but it's because Scheim is here.
We needed some expertise, which is frankly lacking.
Don't have it.
In other day parts.
Right.
We'll give you some examples of that when we come back. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keefe.
So it is noon 30.
Noon 30.
Right.
Here we
now.
Go.
And everybody's looking for an edge. You know, you're looking for an advantage.
Yes.
Especially now where, you know, you can take a quick car ride down to Twin Rivers.
That's right.
Place a legal sports bet.
Oh,
I mean, you got
God.
An opportunity to make some money.
And this is the best time of the year for it. I know people bet on everything. They bet on cricket. They bet on, you know, badminton. Doesn't matter. But the NFL playoffs is the sweet spot. That's the time to get in there. Even if you don't even really do it the rest of the year. This is the time.
Thankfully, this radio station cares about you.
Oh my God, yeah.
They go out there, they try to help you. They've got the podcast, the M&M Investments podcast.
Right. I believe they're recording another one today.
I believe so.
Just in time for the divisional round.
Because you need some expert analysis. You need some people who can help you.
Yeah.
You know, get
Nobody
some
knows
money.
More than Mutt and Lou.
Well, you know, they've got this thing down to a science.
They've been at it for a long time. Yep, good chemistry.
And I think last week is a pretty good example of what we're talking about here.
So last week Mutt
did not do as well.
Mutt hasn't really done all that well.
Well, all right. He's due.
Well, you could go that way, but someone on our staff...
Doing a little bit better?
Doing a little bit better, but let's start off with the juxtaposition here. So
right.
Mutt made some picks last week on his podcast.
He made every pick, right?
Our guy here, Scheim.
Chris Scheim, who is a part-time producer with us.
Sure is.
Right.
He also made some picks with on the air with Butch Stern. So we're going to hear a little bit of those. And
okay.
We'll see why we want to hear from Scheim going forward.
Got it.
All right. It is Colts Texans. Our current lines that we're going to use for this, I have the Texans -1 at home. I have the over-under at 48.5. I looked at this game for a long time. I could not come up with a winner of the game. So I started looking at the total, and I have talked myself into, in fact, I'll tell you off the top, this is my lock of the week. I'm going to start Saturday either in a really good mood or really bad mood. I love the over in this game.
Now, 21-7, your final in the Colts-Texans, just under the under.
Houston favored by a point over the Colts. I am taking the Colts with the points, so it means I'm taking them to win outright.
I am also going to take the Colts, and I'm going to make that my lock of the week.
Oh, Scheim locked it in right out of the chute.
I came out blazing here.
Right out of the chute, and as Mutt said, you're going to start out your Saturday either in a good mood or a bad mood.
And I was off to a great mood.
Great mood. I like that.
So Scheim, 1-for-1. Mutt,
how do you bet on Bill O'Brien there?
You don't.
That's you're right.
Well, and look, Mutt didn't either. He just thought they were going to score a bunch of points.
True, he just felt like points. He didn't like because he couldn't tell. He said he didn't know. He didn't have a feel on the game, so he went over under.
I had a very secure feeling on the game.
Yeah.
Hence, lock of the week.
You locked it in,
and with a little production in there.
His Andrew lock of the week. See what I did there?
Yeah, we're going to move on.
Okay.
So we got now Seattle and the Cowboys.
Yes.
Dallas, we got that line at what -1.5.
I got 1.5.
Opened at 2.5.
Seattle's better. Better quarterback. Better running game. Better defense, definitely better coach, and I'm getting them plus 1.5 in a primetime game. Give me Seattle plus 1.5.
Okay. No, all right. No, Cowboys won by 2.
0-for-2.
Yeah, that's all right. Tough start to the M&M boys there.
I am going to take Seattle, but I got them at plus 2.5, as Merlone said,
okay,
when they came out with the line originally.
Semantics, but I'll give it to you. You locked it in.
I did.
You locked
I got it in,
it two
in at 2.5,
all right,
and I hit.
Okay, 2-0.
2-0 for Scheim.
2-0
so
for Scheim. 0-2 for Mutt.
So then we'll go to the Los Angeles Chargers the Ravens.
Nobody's mad at you for that.
Ravens -2.5 at home against the Chargers. Replay of a game we saw a couple weeks ago. Give me the Ravens at home -2.5.
So if that's the case.
Sunday afternoon.
Oh, let's get the horn in here first. So that's an 0-3.
That's
an 0-3 start for Mutt. What about our guy Scheim?
Baltimore favored by 2.5. Who do you like?
Give me Los Angeles and the points.
Nice.
I have the Chargers in there all day long.
3-0.
Best road team in football.
Look at
they
him.
Are the best road team in football. They absolutely are. So 3-0 versus 0-3.
So far.
Starting to wonder
there's
who should host
for a
the podcast.
Big comeback here.
So then, yes.
Is it too late to get Shima's own podcast? That's the question.
I mean, they could just invite me over to
or have him on there.
So, well, let's see. Before we
I think guys putting the cart before the horse. Let's see if he
let's finish this out. A fourth game on Wild Card Weekend.
Late game Sunday is the resurgent Philadelphia Eagles going to Chicago Bears, favored by 6 in this game. I'd love to disagree, but I'm with you. It feels like a decent cover by the Bears in that late game on Sunday.
So that is just a smooth 0-4.
So far.
Smooth 0-4. All right. Shime weighing in.
The final game of the weekend, which is the Bears, favored by 6, the latest line I got.
I think that's too much. But I'm actually going to take the points. I'm going to take the Eagles plus 6.
4-0 versus 0-4 is pretty...
4-0, boys.
That is a hell of a wild card weekend, Sean.
Now, obviously, it's really fun to just say, hey, I'm picking these teams. We did picks. It's fun. But, Sean, you actually put your money where your mouth is.
I put my money where my mouth is, and I came home with a nice whopping $262.
Look at you, Sean. Pretty well done.
Did
you parlay these all together?
100%. Every week of the NFL playoffs,
what'd you do, like 10 bucks?
Parlay, 20.
So you put $20 down.
At plus 13, 10 odds.
On all four of them to win, or all four to cover, I mean.
Yes,
and you
sir.
Got it. And you got
I hit hard.
That is unbelievable. That is fantastic. Now what you do, any good gambler, take that 260, put it all towards this weekend.
So
this weekend.
Not exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some of it.
Take
and
the 20, take the 20,
it,
put that in your pocket. So now you're even. Take another 20,
how about
put
if
that
you
in
take
your
more than that
now
put
you're
it
up
in
20.
Your pocket.
Put that in your pocket, you're up 20 again. Now you have $220 from there. Put it all in on this weekend.
See,
snowball.
I'm more of a, I like to take, now I'm going to take $162, put it aside. Now I'm going to put the full $100 stack on this week's parlay.
He's kind of half all in.
So we don't know. half in.
He's half in.
So we don't know.
You never want to be half in.
Mutter Maloney's picks yet, as that will be coming out later on this afternoon.
But the good news is this. They have already recorded their podcast, so they can't steal Shime's picks.
That's correct.
Right? So Shime has his picks right now.
I thought I heard them say they were going off to some appearance or something this afternoon.
No,
I'm not sure they've recorded
it. They have an appearance?
They did record it. We heard them fraternizing over here.
Good,
so it's
good,
already
good.
Been locked in, so they can't change their picks. And Shime didn't hear them, so he's going to... Well, actually, you just go opposite anyway. But
yeah, I would fade those picks generally.
So you have your picks for the divisional round weekend.
That is correct. I have the odds in front of me. So first game on Saturday, Indianapolis and Kansas City. Kansas City is favored by 5. I'm going to take the road team. I'm going Indianapolis by 5 right off the bat.
Rossi, you keeping track of all these bad boys? I know people out there are scurrying to their phones, putting up the old notes app and writing these in. So you have the Colts getting 5.
I have the Colts getting 5.
They're on their phones right now going, hello, Pickles.
Get in there. You don't even need Pickles anymore.
I need Indy.
Just change your, go to your Waze app and get down to Twin River. That's all you got to do. Drive right there. Put these in
a
jump. Lock
yeah,
these
it's
in.
Nice easy ride.
Go now, and while you're doing it.
There's a sports bar there now, too.
There you go. You're just listening to Shime.
Go see our man, our guys, Fred and Steve.
And Shime Investments podcast coming to a WEEI. Right,
so if he hits this week, though, he needs
you
to
have
be a guest
to put
spot.
Him on there.
No, he's got
to
be in there next week.
So Colts getting 5 is your first pick.
That is correct.
Very
and
good.
So second pick, we got Dallas and L.A. Rams. The Rams are being favored by 7 right now.
Okay.
That's a lot of points for me, but I'm going to ride with the Rams.
Riding Rams minus 7.
This is the first.
It's a big number, though, Shime.
It is a big number, but Dallas is the 21st. Ranked DVOA in football. I'm a big DVOA guy. I'm taking the Rams here. I think big offense.
For those out there who don't know, DVOA would be...
defense versus... It's like a Football Outsiders
statistic. You don't know what it means.
You don't know
what you're saying.
It's like, I always get it wrong. It's
I know the four
defense
letters,
versus offensive adjustment or something like that.
Got it. And they're... Good at that or bad at that?
Dallas is bad.
Right,
LA
right.
is number 2.
Oh, whoa.
So very good.
So if that's a stat that you like, and I know that you do, you're going Rams.
Seven's
a lot of points, though, Sean. But
it
you're
is
not
a
scared.
Lot of points, but
you're
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it.
What do you think about Jared Goff kind of declining as the season goes on? You're not worried about that?
I'm not worried at all. We got Todd Gurley on the, behind the
And Sean McVay
line,
is
so
the greatest
good.
Coach of all time, and
not
who you
quite,
should want
but
to be coaching your team. So.
We're going to ride with the home team here. I got the -7.
All right. I like that.
Then we got the
here.
Chargers and Pats. big playoff matchup. Patriots currently favored by 4. Riding with the road team. Give me Chargers plus 4.
It's a good road team.
Get the hell off our show.
Their DVOA or whatever it is probably strong.
And
on
I hate to do this. Rossi, I'm going to make this my lock of the week.
Oh, no. Where's the lock? Rossi, please. You got a siren on the ready. You don't have a lock of the week? That's important because it gives it a little bit more gravitas. Not what is that? Is that a new one? It gives it a little bit more gravitas, I think, when you have the lock of the week. No, not what is that?
It's a gunshot.
Is that a cannon? What is that? A little cannonball? Once you get the lock, stop with the clock. Once you get the lock, have Shime say it again. So when we play it next week, it'll sound really good. That way, I'm saving you an extra step. So do you have it? So Shime, when he's not gonna have it. We'll just wait for you.
He's keep got it. Every sound effect known to man.
What was that? A cannon?
I guess. I guess we'll just move on to the next pick.
All right,
while
circle
we wait for
back.
Ross
yeah, good. Good idea. Good idea.
So
what
the,
is that? A bell of some sort? Is that a dinner bell? Okay, now we're doing. Keep that ready because I always tell jokes. I'm good for one joke a day, so keep that on the ready. No, not crickets.
Yeah, that's closer.
Not crickets. Yeah, that's true. We might use them both. All right, so Shime, we'll get that lock of the week by the end of this segment, but the last game is Eagles-Saints.
Final game of the weekend, Eagles-Saints. Saints currently favored by 8. This is the hardest game of the week for me.
Another big number, the biggest
number. I love the Nick Foles magic. I am,
sure.
Really do.
Yeah.
But I got to take the home team. Give me the Saints minus 8.
Ooh, that Saints is a big cover. Number, Shime. So you're taking both AFC dogs and both NFC favorites.
That is 100% correct.
You guys are talking about the kicking game, though, with the Patriots-Chargers. That's all you need. If the Patriots can, right, they just need to win by 3.
What on earth? Why are you jumping on Shime's time right now? What is that, kicking game? We're talking about if you have a DVOA stat, then great.
That'd be good if you knew what it meant.
It's a
Frosty, look for the lock of the week. Don't be messing around with kicking stats. All right, Shime, give us a clean version of your lock of the week again.
So here we go. For my lock of the week, I'm going to take the LA Chargers plus 4. Make it a lock, Rossi.
What was that sound? What on earth was that sound? Was that somebody falling down the stairs?
It says lock sound effect.
Okay. Well,
good try.
We'll do better next time.
Like bad keys.
So there you go. 4 picks. Do you have any bonus picks?
I do, actually.
I didn't know the answer to that, and I'm glad I asked. All right, what's the bonus pick for the divisional round?
So I told you I really like the Rams and Saints. The numbers scare me, so if you want to feel a little more comfortable, I'm suggesting a nice 6-point teaser.
Oh, my God.
Two-team teaser.
Teasers, Shime!
Yeah!
Teasers!
Give me the Rams minus 1, Saints minus 2. Parlay that. You'll be golden.
Is he speaking English still?
I know what he's saying, but I didn't ask for a teaser right now. Teaser, that's not good bang for your buck on a teaser.
I don't know.
Throw the teaser out. Throw the teaser. Single bets, please.
All right, fine. Here's another one.
Okay, he's got another one?
I really like, you know what you can do? If you really like.
Well done, Rossi.
That actually applied to what was happening.
If you really like Philly or the Saints, yeah. I recommend parlaying that with the over 51.
Okay, so in the Eagles-Saints game,
so I would take
over
the Saints
51.
And the over.
Just another bonus pick here. So you have a chance to go 5-0 when we revisit this on Monday.
That is correct.
I like that very much.
And we will at that point know what
Mutt's
M&M investments
too.
Are.
This is a lot.
We really only
on
care
this.
About Mutt's more than Merlone's.
Whoever does better gets to host the next podcast. I think it's as simple as that.
I think that's
on
fair.
The line.
Yeah, put it on the line.
It's like money in the bank.
I mean, there is no way Mutt can throw another 0-for-5 out there.
I think there is a way. I think there is a way. You'll have to tune in to find out.
I mean, I got
to
be honest. There's probably not a great chance that Shime's going to throw another 4-0 out there.
5-0 this time.
I know.
And don't forget that teaser pick.
Teaser.
Could be 6-0. If it's 6-0, you're going to be really wishing you were on my train.
Okay. All right.
Well, tomorrow we're going to
you have a kicking stat or something for us, Rossi? You want to add in?
Vorp.
Who has the better
Vorp
punter?
Stats.
Some Vorp stuff.
Oh, I like
yeah.
Vorp, actually.
So we're going to tweet out Shime's card of what he picked.
Perfect.
And then we're
going
to see what Lou and Mutt, what they
yes.
picked.
Yes.
And we'll see
like
how
that.
This all turns out come Monday morning.
Head to head.
Shime, you're either going to look like a genius or a dope.
If I'm a genius, feel free to give me a phone call on Monday.
Yeah.
617.
We'll have you in. You're coming in on Monday either way.
617-779-7937. Right back to your calls coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
With Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Our former colleague and friend Alex Speer now writes for the Boston Globe. And he looks at things from a real statistical point of view.
Yes, he does.
And does that a lot during the summer with the baseball team. But, you know, there's no baseball right now. So Alex has turned his attention to the Patriots and Chargers game this weekend. And he's done a deep dive into the things about, you know, what matters. For instance, the Baltimore Ravens, as we know now, are now 8-1 on the road.
Chargers.
Chargers, yeah, I should say. But he says, how often do elite road teams sustain their performance into the playoffs? Now, he says, first of all, it's unusual for a team that's so dominant on the road to have to play any playoff games away from home.
True. Good point.
Usually, if you have that kind of a road record, you know, you get a first-round bye and
yeah, you go rolling. Yeah, because chances are matches with your home record and your 13-3 or whatever.
Since the playoffs became a 12-team tournament in 1990, 34 teams, including the Chargers and Saints this year, have won at least 7 regular season road games. Of those, just 9 teams played even a single road game in the playoffs.
Hmm.
Those 9 teams feature a combined 7-7 road playoff record. Just one of those 8, the 2007 Giants, winning more than one road playoff game in a single January.
Yeah, so is there even enough sample there, I wonder?
It's pretty small.
Yeah, so I would say it doesn't mean a whole lot, but there's different reasons for it, I suppose.
Now, on the other hand, he says the Patriots are the 44th team to go 8-0 at home since 1990. The prior 43 teams have a combined record of 35-19 in home playoff games. 14 of those previously undefeated home teams have advanced to the Super Bowl.
Hmm. Okay.
Another thing.
Am I supposed to feel better with this? I don't know if I am. Because also, just...
I'll give you one that'll make you feel better.
All right, good.
Cold. San Diego Los Angeles.
Yes.
Owns an 11-8 record with game time temperatures of 40 degrees or lower. But...
Okay.
That record drops to 1-4 in games where the temperature at kickoff is below freezing. Sunday at Gillette, the mercury is not expected to even get to the 30-degree mark. And he also pointed out it's been years since Rivers and the Chargers have even played in conditions like they're going to face this week.
I think the coldest game they played this year, I was reading somewhere, I think it was 39 degrees at Kansas City December 13th. And they also kind of lucked out because they had games at Pittsburgh, at Denver in December, and both of those games were in the 50s. Like, they were kind of, you know, warmer than they should have been. So they really haven't played games where it's been really cold. So I guess, I don't know, do I buy into that, that it's going to be cold?
He does look at game stuff, too.
No, I know he does. I know he does. But I think if you're just even looking right now, you're talking about good road teams, how do they do in the playoffs? Well, this Chargers team is 1-0. Like, they
so far
they had one opportunity to do it, and they looked pretty good against the Ravens. I think it may have even been more of a dominant effort than what the end result was. Like, they let them back into it in the fourth quarter, but overall, I thought they had pretty good control of that game. And so they're great on the road. I just think, I don't know if that's going to be the determining factor, but it might just kind of negate how good the Patriots are at home. So you take the 8-0 number, you take the 8-1 number, and you put them together, and you're like, all right, so what else is there? And then you get into cold, maybe. Man, I have a hard time talking myself into that's going to be the difference.
We talked about the importance of running the football. Including last week's playoff game, the Chargers have given up at least 100 yards rushing 9 times this year.
Okay.
They've gone 5-4 in those games.
Yes, again, going back to Sony Michelle.
They're 8-0 when they keep opponents under 100 yards.
Yeah, and that's not just one player. That's
the whole team.
Yeah, yeah. So don't you think it's pretty clear the Patriots have to run for over 100 yards?
Well, and the other thing
Sony Michel might have to alone.
They've also got to do better in rushing yards per attempt. When they allow opponents to average 4 yards per rush or better, the Chargers went 3-5.
Mm.
So Sony Michel, I think, and you can run effectively, you've got a really good chance.
It is crazy. I mean, you would think some of the high-scoring games this year, and you look at the great quarterbacks, and people say, running backs aren't as important, and you know the running game is down. But you really do get a sense that the running game is going to be huge in this game.
And to follow that up, the Patriots' defense has allowed at least 150 yards rushing 5 times this season. They went 1-4 in those games.
Yeah. So that's no surprise. So who has a better chance of rushing for 150 yards? It's pretty similar, isn't it? Like, I think it's kind of a toss-up.
And I do think the Patriots offensive line. I give them the edge over the Chargers offensive line. So I think they've got an advantage in that category.
Yeah, they do. I think the guys trying to stop said run, though, maybe a little bit better on San Diego side or LA side.
The Patriots' rushing yards per game, 127.3, is fifth best in the NFL. The Chargers' rushing yards per game, 117.1, is 15th best in the NFL.
But what's also kind of glaring, because you're right, the Patriots overall, the number of rushing yards isn't that bad. But if you look at the yards per carry, that number is pretty high. And a lot of times if a team gets down, then they're going to have to throw it more. I mean, that Minnesota Vikings game is such a good example of why didn't you just keep running? Like, if they just gave the ball to Dalvin Cook another 10 times, maybe you don't even beat the Vikings for some reason. And then their offensive coordinator got fired, like, a few days later. But teams have been able to run the ball pretty successfully. But then I think they get in their own head against Tom Brady. And they say, well, this isn't how we do it. We're going to have to be aggressive. We're going to have to score. We're going to have to throw it. You're like, well, you were doing a pretty good job on the ground. You might just want to keep doing that.
Now, if you're looking at things defensively, the Patriots have allowed 112.7 rushing yards per game. That's 11th best in the league. The Chargers have allowed 105.8 rushing yards per game. That's 7th best in the league.
Yeah.
Yards per carry defense, Patriots were 30th.
Yeah, that's the stat I was looking at. So it was
4.9 yards per rush.
So if you run the ball twice against the Patriots, on average, you're picking up a first down.
Yeah.
That is pretty scary. And that's why a team, even if you're down 7 or 10 to the Patriots, you should probably keep running. And wouldn't you say their secondary is the strength of the defense? They have an all-pro corner. The other corners have been better than I expected, and the safety group is pretty strong. So why would you want to try to throw the ball nonstop against the Patriots, where chances are you're going to have a lot of success running the ball? And so maybe it's Melvin Gordon, but if his knee's hurt, they might have to go to their backups, but they can do that. They played, what, 4 games or whatever it was without Melvin Gordon earlier in the year? So they can do that, and they turn into, you know, how does Van Noy, how does Hightower, how do Landon Roberts, how do those guys play on?
And as the week has gone on, I felt less and less good about them.
Yeah. The more
and
we've
that was
talked
before
about.
Shine told us his lock of the week
well, now
was the Chargers.
Now, Shine, this won't affect your number. Well, actually, yeah.
Patriots can still win. I'm just taking the Chargers +4.
No, I know. Okay.
So Patriots win by 1, 2, or 3.
What does your magic 8 ball tell you? You've been on fire. This won't account against your picks, but do you think the Patriots win by 1, 2, or 3?
No.
Okay.
Ask again later, actually, it said.
It says come back later? Yeah. All right, we'll check it. Are you in tomorrow?
I am definitely
tomorrow.
All right,
great. We'll check
in
tomorrow.
Feel free to ask me again.
I will. I'll ask you tomorrow at this exact time.
So I can't wait.
Be prepared. So that's not good. If our guy, or Nostradamus over here, is thinking they're going to lose, he's probably already seen the future. He's already seen this game play out.
How are Patriots fans feeling right now?
A little nervous.
I mean, we're a little nervous. Are Patriots fans, you know, rampant optimism rules hub, or are Patriots fans going,
I think it's as simple as this, and it's because we've been doing this every day since Monday at 10 a.m. The more you talk about the game, the worse I think you have to feel about it. If you just ignore it and say, it's the divisional round, the Patriots are at home, Brady's never lost to Rivers, all this Belichick versus Anthony Lynn, all this stuff, you're going to feel pretty good. But as soon as you get into everything else, like the rosters on both sides, how good the Chargers have been on the road, really how good their season has been, whatever the second tiebreaker is, like I don't even know what it is, the Chargers could easily be the number one seed in the AFC. They could have home field throughout. Not that it's a scary home field, but they could.
You could make the argument, though, that the Patriots were one dumb defensive play with Rob Gronkowski back there in the secondary from being the number one seed as well.
They could have had that. They also, if the Eagles don't beat the Texans in Week 16, the Patriots played Wild Card Weekend. Like there's a lot of different what ifs for this season. But the bottom line is the Chargers are a really good team. And you also wonder, like, is this finally Philip Rivers' year? Like, I don't even know how to, like, qualify that or quantify that, but Rivers has had some good teams. He's had some good seasons. And what is he, like, 37 now? Like, he's getting up there, but
But this team isn't as good as some of the other teams he's had.
Yeah,
he had LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates, who wasn't 100 years old.
But those teams had flaws about them. There was something about them. I don't know if you want to say they were softer or what it was. But Tomlinson was an unbelievable running back. But when they needed him the most against the Patriots, he was hurt and was pouting on the sidelines, sat on the bench. Keenan Allen's the best receiver that he's probably ever had. the pass rush is, I mean, Sean Merriman had a year or 2 years that were really, really good, but Bosa and Ingram, like that duo is probably better than he's had. This is definitely one of the better, it's one of the better Charger teams, and it's one of the worst Patriots teams. And that's not even a real knock on this team. That's just the reality. They're 11-5. It's one of the worst Patriots teams that Brady has had.
11-5.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. Listen 11-5.
Yeah, listen to us.
It's, no, but it's true. A lot of
other
teams you take.
One really bad brain fart on defense from 12-4.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, you can't prove that Devin McCourty would have made the stop on that play, right. Obviously.
Right.
But I feel pretty confident.
But just so even think about that. Think about the confidence level last year at this time. Like we were ready. We probably already booked our hotel in Minnesota. Like
we actually had.
I think we did. We did
because I remember when I started like with this show full time. I had to give all my information for a flight.
Yeah, like already. Like we're going this year. Has anybody said a word about Atlanta? Has anybody said a word to us about Atlanta? No, because they know we're not going. That's what it feels like anyway. Last year, completely different. Now the Jacksonville game ended up being insanely close, and like there was a real chance that they weren't going to go. Like they weren't going to be able to come back and win that game and get to the Super Bowl. But you felt good each round. You're like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course Patriots are going to win. And now they haven't even played a game yet. And I think more people than not are saying, ugh. It's been sort of a funky year all year, going all the way back to Gronk and Brady and all that stuff. It's been sort of an odd year. It doesn't feel like it's going to end in the Super Bowl.
If you were looking for something to hang your hat on, Pro Football Focus ranked the best secondaries in the NFL for the entire season. The Chicago Bears had the best secondary in the NFL. According to Pro Football Focus, they're now done.
Yeah, but they had a great defense.
The Patriots had the second best secondary in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus.
Well, yeah, because Gilmore is like the top corner, and Jason McCourty was like fifth or sixth on their rankings. So yeah. That makes sense.
And Devin McCourty was great back there. According to Pro Football Focus, they had the second best secondary. And you're saying, all right, there's an advantage. Yeah. The Chargers had the third best secondary.
Yeah, they're good. The Chargers are really good. And then when you look at the possible playmakers on both sides, so both offenses are going to be going up against good secondaries. But then when you say, all right, Edelman, Gronk, Hogan, Dorsett, or Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry, I think that skill group is better. Even though knowing that Gates is, you know, like Weekend at Bernie's out there. But, I mean, I guess that was a Manish Mehta thing for Gronk. I'll take it back. He's like a dead person out there. But Keenan Allen's the best playmaker on the field on Sunday. And I'll tell you, Mike Williams is pretty good. I know his stats aren't amazing, but Mike Williams is pretty sweet.
Well, he's one of those guys, like, when he's, like, involved in their offense, he's a star. But when the ball
didn't he have, like, a three-touchdown game or something?
Yeah, against the Chiefs.
He ended up, that's right, it was against the Chiefs. Yeah, he had I think he had 10 touchdowns this year. So he's definitely a guy to watch. Was Belichick asked about Mike Williams? He was asked about. So Bill Belichick held his press conference the other day, and he was asked obviously about the Chargers and going through like the rosters, and which is always fun because Belichick knows every single guy,
every
team.
Player.
He knows every single guy.
I mean, he knows the backup holder.
And a great sort of comparison was a couple years ago, Rex Ryan didn't even know Deion Lewis's name. Remember? He's like, oh, yeah, they got that little running back there. Like, he didn't even know who Deion Lewis was. He's like a pretty significant part of the offense. But so here's Belichick asked about the wide receiver for the Chargers.
Do you see any similarities with Williams and Allen?
Williams.
Wide receiver.
That's two. I'm out. Yeah. Well, like,
that's unbelievable.
I gotta play that again.
Do you see any similarities between Williams and Keenan Allen? Belichick says Williams. They have two of them.
Williams.
Listen, I know I don't ask the best questions in the world. I'm not making fun of that guy.
Yeah, you are.
It was a terrible question, sir. Know the roster. If you're gonna ask a question, know the player. That's not that difficult.
There's two of them.
Which one are you talking about? There's two of them. And by the way, there's like eight Mike Williamses. They were all wide receivers.
All like first
There was
picks.
The USC Mike Williams. There's the Syracuse Mike Williams. There's this Mike Williams. There's another Mike Williams, I think, somewhere. Plays a crawl with Mike Williams.
Patriots had a
guy, Michael Williams. There's a million Mike Williams. This one should be the best.
But listen to the way he gets to like who, like how confident he is in which Williams.
No confidence.
He barely has like Mike Williams.
He's like line.
I'm out. Yeah. Well, Like,
sure. He's like disgusted. Yeah, Mike Williams had a game this year. It was against Kansas City. The game they won against Kansas City, he had 7 catches for 76 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then he had a 19-yard rushing touchdown. So he had 3 total touchdowns in the game.
And he had the walk-off 2-point conversion.
Yeah, oh, by the way, this could be an early Keefe's key as well. If the Chargers go for 2, cover Mike Williams. Have you seen the last two times?
Guess.
Have you seen the last two times they've gone for 2? There's been nobody within 30 yards of Mike Williams. They, like, run away from Mike Williams. He only had 43 catches this year for 664 yards, but he had 10 touchdowns. He's a big beast of a dude. He's 6'4", 220, 7th overall pick in 2017 out of Clemson. Like, that's a matchup nightmare for the Patriots. And that's the kind of guy, too, that would just, you're like, oh, Keenan Allen. And then Williams goes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
6'1".
Which one? Tyrell?
Sorry, watch out for Tyrell Williams,
he's like,
too.
Mike?
Wide receiver.
Let's do it.
Mike Williams? Mike
question Williams? Mark, question mark, question mark.
617-779-7937. We get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
I'm out. Yeah. Well, like,